So our passage this morning in Matthew chapter 8 has to be one of the most beloved, precious stories in all of Scripture that I imagine we all know well. It's one of the most awesome, amazing displays of God's power in the Bible. And it's one of the most comforting and encouraging portions of Scripture. Our Lord Jesus Christ calmed a storm, a tempest, Matthew says. He calmed it with a word. He was asleep at the bottom of the boat. The disciples wake him. They cry out in fear, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." He says, "Oh, you of little faith." And then with a word, a rebuke, a "be still," the storm dissipates. The word of Jesus brings peace. His word is so powerful. No matter how great the chaos, how great the fear, his word is powerful enough to bring peace. And I pray that as we hear his word, we hear his gospel preached, that maybe if your life feels like a bit of a storm right now, or there's a tempest raging around you, or you feel fear or anxiety, that you'll hear him this morning, that his word will bring you peace. Matthew records that there were two questions that were asked that night. And that's what I'd like us to gather our thoughts around. The first is, the Lord asked the disciples when he rises up, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? What are you afraid of? Why are you afraid?" And then the second question after the storm is the disciples start to say to one another, "Who is this? Who is this man who the wind and the sea obey him?" And so those are the questions I'd like us to ask. What are we afraid of? Why do we fear the evils of this world? And then first, we'll start with the second question first. We'll consider what the disciples ask. Who is this that even the winds and the seas obey him? We've got to try and remember that at this point, the disciples have maybe been with Jesus a few months, maybe getting close to a year perhaps. They've heard his powerful preaching, that he spoke with authority. No one speaks like Jesus speaks. He's surely a prophet, anointed of God, giving us the word of God. And so they've also seen many amazing miracles. Jesus casting out demons, healing the sick, watching limbs grow, skin diseases vanish, paralyzed people walk, amazing miracles. So doubtless they're wondering, like much of the crowd is this the Christ? Is this the promised Savior, the Son of David and the King who's going to redeem us as God's people and bring in the kingdom of God? But then there's this. Now something happens that's on an order of magnitude above and beyond even all of these things that they've seen and heard. Controlling a storm with a word. This is power and authority over creation, over forces of nature that just defies understanding. It's no wonder that they're awestruck. You know, maybe even a little bit afraid of Jesus. The scriptures seem to indicate that his word brought immediate peace. It wasn't like the storm slowly died down over the next hour. It just kind of hung around and decreased. No, in an instant, it's gone. Sea of Galilee, as still as a millpond. The scripture says there was a great calm. There was a silence, a peace. Now, if you know anything about the geography of the Sea of Galilee, it still is, even today, prone to sudden violent storms. I picked up from an Israeli newspaper that in May of just this year, there was a huge storm that suddenly just arose up overnight, winds as high as 87 miles an hour, and it did about $50 million worth of damage as large waves were hitting things on the shore. Now, we can imagine the disciples suddenly caught up in a storm like that in the middle of the night. Something like that. We had some strong winds. Was it a month or so back? With a word. Still. So who is this man? Who is this man? Ask yourself that question this morning. Who is this? He is the Lord, the Almighty. He is God, the maker of the heavens and the earth. And not just because of the sheer power that he displays here, but because this idea of a calming of a storm, of waves, of the sea, that is something that has a rich biblical history, heritage, symbolism. Throughout the Old Testament scriptures, written over thousands of years, for the centuries before Christ has even come, there's a recurring pattern that you see in the Old Testament scriptures, that God alone, as creator, can control the seas and the storms. God alone could do such a thing. You see that runs throughout the scriptures. See, in the minds of ancient people, nothing was more terrifying or more untamable, uncontrollable than a storm at sea. A fierce storm at sea represented chaos, frightening, powerful forces, demonic forces that are just beyond human control. Forces of the gods that you were just entirely at its mercy. But in that culture, in that background, according to the true witness of the Holy Scriptures, you find again and again, God is in control. Think about the very beginning in creation. You find in Genesis chapter 1, God the Lord overruling and commanding the waters. It says in the very beginning, when God began to create and then order the world, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. So at the very beginning, the first form of creation is it's like a huge dark sea swirling, frightening, chaotic waters. And God speaks a word, separates out the waters from the waters, makes the dry land appear with a word. He's in control of this seemingly impossibly dark force. Creates a world in which life then begins to flourish. Or you can think of when Israel comes to the Red Sea at the Exodus, and the people of God find themselves, they're trapped. There's Pharaoh's chariots on one side, and there's this impassable sea in front of them. God speaks. His powerful breath parts the waters, and he makes a way. Again, the sovereign Lord, the Almighty, in control of everything. Or think of the runaway prophet Jonah. You know, he disobeys God's command to go to Nineveh and he's running away. And so God this time sends a great storm. Jonah's hurled overboard and the Lord stills the storm. He even commands a great sea creature to swallow Jonah. He rules even over the depths of the earth. Or you could think of how God appears to suffering Job. Job was in a kind of terrible storm as his life had been falling down around him. And then when God comes to him, he's given a vision. God appears. There's first a dark swirling storm, but the Lord is above it, ruling over it, reigning over it. And he says to Job, "Who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth? I placed boundaries on it and said, thus far shall you come and no further. Here your proud waves stop." You see, isn't that wonderful? You see the imagery coming across of a storm raging and God says, stop. And that's there in the book of Job. God alone can do this. Oh, there's more. There's Psalm 89. O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty like you, O Lord? You rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. Oh, Psalm 93. The floods have lifted up their voice, but the Lord on high is mightier. You see, it's not just an awesome display of power, this miracle. Jesus is showing us exactly who he is, exactly as the scriptures tell us who he is. He's the one true living God, the sovereign Lord and creator. Not just a prophet, but so much more. Not just a king and savior, but so much more. He is God who upholds all things by the word of his power. So ask yourself the question, who is this? Who do you say this is? Like the disciples were, we should be in awe of him. We should rejoice with trembling. We should with not a fear of him being our enemy or against us, but a fear of his greatness and power and reverence. It's not even that he has to have a contest here. It's not even that the Lord has to wrestle with this, like he has to strain to show his strength. Just speaks the word. It's done. And yet at the same time, there is this incomprehensible mystery. A few moments earlier, he's asleep. But he's tired. His human body exhausted. And after a long day of ministry, he needs food. He needs rest. He needs shelter. His mortal human form, weak and vulnerable, just like us. And so we affirm what this shows us so clearly is Jesus Christ is both man and God. He's a man with a human nature, just like any one of us. And so sympathetic to us. And yet at the same time, holy and fully God. He is this glorious man and God at both at the same time. God dwelling in humanity. And I do not try to explain that any more than I can explain how we can control storms with a word. But we can confess it is true. So when the disciples, because they know these things, when they ask, who is this? What's really going on in their hearts is they are struggling to accept what they knew was true. Do you see what I mean? They knew their scriptures. These were godly men. They knew what it meant. Only God can do this. And yet, somehow this man, our friend and our teacher, he's doing what God does. How can he be God at the same time? It could be nothing else, logically, rationally. But they're struggling to believe it and accept it because it's so awesome and it's so amazing. And because it would mean everything is different. Everything about their lives would never be the same. It would mean everything would have to be devoted to Jesus. And they're just struggling to process it. They're in a kind of shock. And then maybe for you, as you ask yourself this question this morning, maybe that's where you're at. The truth, the evidence, the witness is so clear. You cannot explain Jesus Christ any other way. No man has ever said or done what Jesus has done. And so if you've yet to believe in him, you have a huge dilemma and problem to try to resolve in your mind. Who is this man who can say and do these things? And I pray that it might even just niggle away at you until you are forced inevitably to bow to the truth. There's no historical witness that is as reliable, as proven, as trustworthy. But you're just struggling to accept it. Not because it's not true, but because you know it means everything will have to change. Because it means you will have to bow to him as Lord. And that it really is all about Jesus. And that he's the one you're looking for. His word brings real peace. And there's so much in our society right now that is so chaotic. Up is down, left is right, right is wrong. And it's destroying us and destroying people. It's destroying any sense of purpose. It's destroying happiness. It's making everybody so anxious. And it's like we're in a maelstrom of not knowing what's true. And there's a wonderful answer. It's listen to the word of Jesus. Your God, your creator, whose word orders all of life, puts everything in its right place. Peace is when everything's working as it's meant to be, as it's designed to be. And the peace that you're looking for in the midst of this chaos will come when you listen to this word of Jesus. When you hear who he is. If you're struggling with that, pray that the Holy Spirit will open your heart. That he'll help you accept it, that have eyes to see it. That you will wholeheartedly trust him. And so this is the first question, and there's only one answer. Who is this man? He is your God. So come and worship him. But then let's look on the flip side at the disciples. Because then the second question is, the Lord asks them as they're crying out. He says, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Now, in one sense, you feel a bit sorry for the disciples, don't you? Doesn't that seem a bit harsh, Lord? This storm is frightening. To all extents and purposes, they think they're going to die. And yet, he says to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? The world can be a frightening place. Can be a very frightening place. Difficult, dangerous things suddenly come down on us. Someone here this morning was just telling me how yesterday they were almost sideswiped by a car at 70 miles per hour. And for a moment, it looked like that could have been it. Those things are frightening. And troubles come that overwhelm us. And the thought of death can be frightening. I think a particular challenge for us today is social media and the news. They focus in on stories, I think, that almost like they're trying to make us afraid. There's a lot of sensationalism and stoking up anxiety. And there's these fears about nuclear weapons in the Ukraine. There's anxieties about the economy. We've all just come through this strange couple of years with COVID where we were all told to be very afraid. There are things that can make us afraid, but brothers and sisters, that the great thing the Lord is saying to us here is that the antidote to fear is faith. The antidote to fear is faith. And the way to overcome these anxious fears is to put our faith in God. This sovereign, almighty God who controls the storm, who's in control of everything. He's really challenging the disciples, isn't he? What's he really saying in this gentle rebuke? He's saying, have faith. Have faith in God, the Almighty, who's in control of everything. Even the chaos that seems to be about to hurt you. Trust your God. We do not believe in a small God who was a victim of events. We do not believe in a God who's going through history with us as if he doesn't know what's going to happen next either. We don't believe in a God whose power is limited in any way. The Bible tells us he is the sovereign Lord, the Alpha and Omega, who's ordained all things, who's reigning over all things. And that nothing is outside of his control. And he's telling us, in the storms that come, trust your God. Use your faith. Use your faith when you feel afraid. Biblically, faith and fear are opposites. They're contrasted with each other throughout the scriptures. Faith is the antidote to fear. See, fear and anxiety are liars. When difficulties come, fear lies to you. It wants you to lose hope. It tells you that this bad thing, oh no, you just can't do this. You're never going to make it through. It's going to destroy you. This is the end of you. Fear lies to you and says things are never going to get better. It says there's no way you can face this. Fear lies to you and says, gives you lots of what ifs. What if such and such happens? And it paints a distorted picture in your heart of the worst case scenario, of everything going wrong. But fear exaggerates. It twists the situation. Fear wants you to act, Christian, as if there is no God. So the antidote is faith. Trust that what God has told you in his word is true. Faith believes God's promises are what's real. God's assurances. Faith silences the lies of fear with the truth of God's word. Fear says you're never going to make this through. This is the end of you. Faith says, the Lord my God has promised never to abandon me or forsake me. Has promised that he will bring me safely to glory. We should, by faith, remember his promises. He will accomplish his purposes for me. He tells me that even the troubles that come into my life are working for my good. That everything's in his control and he will comfort me. He will help me with my sorrows. He tells me that even death is not to be feared. Not even death is going to be able to separate me from my God and his love for me. And so the Lord says to the disciples and to us, use your faith. It's a bit like a muscle. If we don't use it and just lie back and let fear tell us all these terrible lies, it will destroy us. But as a Christian, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. The strength and power of God is with you. And you can fight back with the truth. Do you know what the most frequently repeated commandment in the Bible is? The most frequently occurring command. We've got it in the, there's one that's down in the Bible way more than any other. Surprisingly, it's not love God and love your neighbor. Now, they are the two most important. They're the biggest. But it's also not one of the Ten Commandments, even though they sum up all of the law. No, the command that we are given in Scripture more than any other is do not be afraid. The Lord says to his people, do not be afraid. I am with you. When Abram was worried about the future and surrounded by enemies and worried about how am I ever going to have a child when I'm 99 years old? What does the scripture say? The Lord came to him in a vision. And what's the Lord's first words to his beloved child? He says, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Israel, again, on the shore of the Red Sea, they've got this army about to trample them to death. And what does God say to them through Moses? Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of your God. Joshua comes to the banks of the Jordan, and he's somehow got to lead Israel across and then fight these far superior forces, vastly outnumbered with their huge towers and fortresses. And the Lord comes to him and he says, do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You heard it in Isaiah. They're about to go off into exile in Babylon. It looks impossible, humanly speaking. The Lord says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. But then you find in the Gospels, the Lord Jesus does this all the time to his people as well. He's on his way to the house of Jairus to go and heal his young daughter who's sick. And then servants come and they say, we're sorry, it's too late. Let Jesus go because she's died. You know what Jesus says? He says, do not be afraid. Only believe. She's not dead, she's sleeping. And he raises her up. Do you hear what the Lord your God, what word he's saying to you, Saint, in the midst of anxious times when you may feel afraid sometimes? He says, do not fear, I am with you. Who's with you in the boat? Who's with you in the boat, Saint? You might look at the winds and the waves and say, I can't swim. The Lord of heaven and earth is by your side. Do not be afraid. Use your faith so the Lord doesn't say to you, oh, you have little faith. Come on. Use your faith. You know, it's really striking. There's a little detail in Matthew's account that the Lord asks this question before he calms the storm. Did you see that? The wind is howling. The waves are swamping the boat. And before the Lord banishes it, he says to them, you have little faith. Now, Mark's gospel, we're told that after he stills the storm, he repeats this rebuke. As if to say it again. But here, it's very clear. Look what it says in verse 26. He asked the question, then he arose. So he asks his saints this question in the midst of the storm. And that is often the Lord's way with us, brothers and sisters. He wants us to grow as his children. He wants us to learn to stand on our 2 feet of faith, to grow in our trust in him. It glorifies him. And the way he does it is not by just instantly making everything easy for us and taking away all fears, but he'll let that storm rage for a little while so that you need to use your faith. He may at times plunge you into the maelstrom. You may fall into the pit. You may enter into that fiery furnace and be in situations that seem impossible. And that's the moment when he says, trust me. Because it will be a greater display of his glory and faithfulness. When you trust him in the storm, it's a greater faith that honors him more. And so I would say again, my beloved brothers and sisters, if you feel like there's a bit of a hurricane and you feel afraid of something, the Lord has not abandoned you. He has not lost control. But he's right there with you facing that storm, and he's using it to grow your faith. He's summoning in you a greater faith. He wants you to understand that even the chaos is in his hands. That he's the Lord over all. That you do not have a small God who cannot handle this. And so trust him. There's an old John Newton hymn that I love. Go and look it up at home. It says, begone unbelief, my Saviour is near. And for my relief will surely appear. By prayer let me wrestle, and he will perform. With Christ in the vessel, I smile at the storm. With Christ in the vessel, I smile at the storm. So, brothers and sisters, may we learn from these two questions and from this storm. Who is Jesus? The sovereign Lord Almighty. Why are you afraid? Is there anything to fear with Christ with you? Let us not be afraid, but trust him and glorify him. Let us pray. O Lord and Father, infinite in power and love, thank you for the comfort you give us in the Holy Scriptures. We thank you for your Son, God in the flesh, and how he cares for us, saves us, and keeps us. Lord, we would lay before you our fears, the things that trouble us and make us anxious. And we do not necessarily ask you to take them away, Lord. We ask instead that you would increase our faith. To see that you are Lord over everything, in control, and working in all things for our good. So please, Lord, do increase our faith. Help us to trust you, even in the midst of a storm. And may this bring great glory to your name, O sovereign Lord of all. Amen.